Sometimes we wonder at this time of year what the new year is going to be like. Here's how I'd like to share that with you. Let me tell you where I'm going. It's all I really know to do is to tell you where I'm going. For me, there is a great hunger to mature in Christ. For Christ to be fully formed in me. I believe there is greater grace, greater understanding, greater insight, greater discernment, greater spiritual power that is available to us in Christ that none of us have tasted yet. And it's silly to make New Year's resolutions to lose a few pounds if you grow no stronger spiritually. It's silly to make new resolutions about making a little bit more money and your spiritual life is bankrupt. What I desire is to know Christ. Paul gave us that example, didn't he? From Philippians chapter 3. You can, if you want to read it together, I'll turn there. Philippians chapter 3. Look for verse, find that real quick. Verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own which comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. I, your pastor, I want to know Christ. And this is the attitude that I hope that you have, because if you don't have it, you're going to get left in the dust. I do not want to be a babysitter. I do not want to be preside over a nursery. We need to hunger and thirst to know Christ fully. Paul was one of the greatest apostles, and here he is saying, I want to know Christ. And do we think we know Christ enough? Can we relate to this drive in his heart? Or, like I have, and I'm going to admit that I have experienced a complacency, a comfort. You get comfortable where you are, glad that you're forgiven and glad you're going to heaven, but you're not progressing spiritually. You're not growing. There's not changes. Paul went on to say, after describing his own drive to know Christ in a fuller way, he said, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. What do you think? Was Paul asking or saying he wanted to be crucified? What was he saying? What does he mean, becoming like Christ in his death? The Bible says that the death Jesus Christ died, he died to sin. And the life he lives to God. And I want to know Christ and be dead to sin and alive to God, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with Jesus Christ, transformed, experiencing new understanding, new wisdom, new insight, new fruitfulness. And Paul goes on to say in the same chapter, Philippians there, that let everyone who is mature, if you're mature, this is the way you should think. But you know what, sadly?
is that not everyone is mature. You know, maturity in Christ is not automatic. You can be 50 years old, 60 years old. You can be a Christian 40 years or 50 years old as far as the number of times the earth is revolved around the sun, but have not progressed spiritually. Because Paul said in his letter to the Corinthian church, he says, we have a word of wisdom among the mature. The word of wisdom, you're not able to speak wisdom to an infant, are you? How many of us would spend time at the nursery door explaining the law of physics? You know, you have to come down to the level of first grade if that's where the student is at. You remember what the scripture says, that when they're in the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5, when he says, you know, I want to go into greater depth with you about these things. And he's talking about the power of Christ in the order of Melchizedek, the power of righteousness in his dynamic life. But he says, but it's become difficult to explain to you because you're slow to learn. So evidently, and please hear me, there is a proper speed of learning. It is a process. We have to grow. But not all of us will automatically grow as quickly as we could. There's something called delayed development. I should know, I live with a young lady who is precious to me, who is handicapped. Her name is Anna, and most of you know her. She's 30 years old as far as the number of years she's been here. But she's not 30 years old compared to many of us. She's a child. And we have to treat her like a child. There's only certain things we can do with her. A pastor, a minister, a Sunday school teacher is in the same place. If you have not developed beyond a child spiritually, then the pastor or the apostle or a prophet has to deal with you at the level you're at. And we all have a say in how we develop. This is something that I have known for years. And I'll tell you, in attempting to communicate to people, many times I believe I've been over-aggressive with it. Because it's frustrating to see people live complacent and comfortable and kind of going through motions and not really experiencing any dynamic power in Christ. The problem with underdeveloped or immature Christians is the entire church is affected and the kingdom of God gets a bad testimony. How many of us can say that we are so full of the Holy Spirit, so full of joy, that we are literally spreading the life of Christ to everyone around us in our life? We are constantly giving them the fruit of the Spirit. The only thing that ever comes from us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, meekness, self-control. Only those who are developing in Christ, allowing Christ to fully be formed in us. Do you realize that just because you have the Holy Spirit does not mean that Christ is fully formed in you? The Christ that's in you might be a little baby. He may still be in the little manger of your heart, because we must grow up in our salvation. This is what the scripture says. We are to crave the pure spiritual milk of the word in order that we might grow up into our salvation. And the reason The Bible says that the Lord gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastor teachers is for this, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and a personal, comprehensive knowledge of God. Then it says we will no longer be infants. And you know what an infant is? An infant is an unstable person on their own. They cannot provide for themselves. They are completely dependent upon others to help them. They are not productive. They're not ready to reproduce. They're not ready to marry. They're not ready to work. They have to be cared for. And that describes the spiritual life of too many people. You're completely dependent upon others to prop you up and care for you and change your diapers and comfort you because we have not grown up in Christ. And what happens, that infant, Paul says, is vulnerable. They're blown back and forth by every wind of teaching. You know, there are people that fixate themselves on thinking that they have a great understanding about the last days and the coming of the Lord. And Jesus Christ hasn't come into their life so that their family can see it in years. All they see is a hypocrite, a religious person that is not manifesting spiritual life. But they are enjoying, entertaining themselves by thinking they're fixated and learning something. We can't have that. We bear the name of Jesus. And Jesus needs to be fully formed in us. Fully formed. Mature. What does that look like? Well, it's a beautiful thing. Look at how creation is. I do want to encourage you. It's not instamatic. It's not in an instant. Maturity in Christ will not happen in an instant. It's progressive, like creation was. God could have said, let there be, and everything was done at once, right? But it's interesting. He took 6 days to create. There were stages of that creation. And there are going to be stages in our personal spiritual life. If any man is in Christ, what is he? He is a new creation. Old things are passing away, and all things are becoming new. By days, there are stages. There should be new things still happening. New growth, new wisdom, new understanding, new strength should be happening. And what's beautiful is at the height of creation, on the 6th day, the glory of God's creation, his highest creation was made. And what did the Lord make on the 6th day? He said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Do you see what the goal of creation is? We have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. The new creation that God is busy at work is creating the image of his Son in us. So we talk like Jesus. We walk like Jesus. We act like Jesus. And that when the people in our lives look at us, what do they see? Jesus. They see Jesus. They hear purity in our speech. They see self-control in our response. They see grace and power. They see a transformation. And let me encourage you in this. Let me encourage you. Some of us are in nuestra edad. You know, we're in our age, we could call it our latter years. Zachariah and Elizabeth were in their latter years, weren't they? Isn't that what made the birth of John the Baptist so dynamic? Abraham and Sarah were in their latter years, weren't they? Isn't that what made the birth of Isaac so miraculous? I want
I don't care how old I am. And what's, there's actually an advantage to you being old. Let me give this to you. Because by now, most of your family members have figured out all of your quirks. They know every personality flaw you have. They can predict it. They can see you in a situation, and they've seen it so many times that it's so natural for you to be that way. They've got it. So guess what that's a setup for? You experiencing a new and dynamic growth in Christ.
Amen.
And you know what it does? It makes the contrast dynamic. They know something has happened. Because when they see the change, they will ask, where did the power for this come from? Where did the influence come from? What has happened? And do you see the right goal for having that? For desiring that? See, I'm not talking about trying to be saved. I am talking about trying to become so like Christ that everyone I meet encounters Christ in me. The checker, the person down the aisle, the person I'm speaking to on the phone, the people I drive with along the road, that everywhere anyone has contact with me, they encounter the Lord Jesus Christ in full control of me. What a goal. Because it's the one thing I can do. Lord, I want you to be glorified. I want men and women to recognize your power is real. Your grace is real. They are not going to recognize that because you attend this church. They are not going to recognize that because we stand and sing words to a hymn, even if we mean them sincerely. Here's what Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. When men see the power of God in you, enabling you to do what is good, they will recognize God is at work in you. When they see the power of God get a hold of your mouth so that you never say ugly things anymore, and your speech is cleaned up. For me, it's beyond my speech. You know what I want cleaned up? I want my tone cleaned up. Yeah, because sometimes my tone is not near what it should be. This has been a prayer pouring out of my heart this week. Lord, I feel like the message you've been giving me is there, but I feel like the meekness with the message has been lacking. Strengthen your meekness in me so that I can share your word fully under control, not letting my own human emotions get the best of me. Because when Moses' emotions got the best of him, remember what he did? He took his rod, what did he do? And he struck that rock because he was so frustrated with the people. The people were such an unbelieving and stubborn people that it provoked Moses, and he caved into the weakness. But it cost him going into the promised land with the people of Israel. Man's anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. But you know, I want to say this. Complacency does anger God. It's good to be angry about certain things. You know, even as parents, we could tell when our children were purposely just kind of dragging their feet. Don't we know that? And what would we tell them? Stop dragging your feet! You know, we can tell. God feels that way about us sometimes, I think. But you know, if you do not see, this is the thing, if you do not see how much glory, how many spiritual blessings there are, how many spiritual treasures there are in Christ still to be discovered, you know what you are? You're a person without vision.
You have eyes, but no vision. You can see naturally, but there's no spiritual vision. You know, Jesus described this, and the prophets described this spiritual condition, having eyes, but can't see. Having ears, but can't hear. Having a heart, but not understanding. This can happen to us. We can lose sight, and the devil is very good at this. We can lose sight that the key to heaven and eternal life is in the person of Jesus Christ. Can I assure you of something? The devil has no problem us focusing on heaven. Because if he can keep us from discovering the eternal life in Christ right now, he keeps us weak and stunted and unfruitful. While we talk about the wonderful life of heaven, and look at the life of the church over the last 50 and 60 years, as it gets weaker and weaker. Most of us older and older are looking more and more forward to heaven. But what about? But are we as hungry for heaven to come to us as we are hopeful to go to heaven someday? There, everything will be fine. It will be fine. But what about living such a life here on the earth, being so filled with Jesus Christ that men get a taste of heaven that we walk in on a day-by-day basis? This is possible. I taste this life, and it's created in me a great hunger and thirst to know it fully. And so let me encourage you what kind of in my heart. And it's really not about this year. It's really kind of always in my heart. It's just this time of year, it kind of makes me think about it a little bit more. You know what it is for me? It's a march to maturity. A march to maturity. I feel I need to pursue knowing Christ fully. And I feel I need to drag you along. You know, in the right way. Paul said, follow my example as I follow Christ. Now, and what would you rather me be? Would you rather me be a shepherd that goes before you, or one of those dogs that bites the sheep on the back of the heels and gets them in place where they need to be? I mean, I'm willing to do either one, but I think you would rather have me follow Christ with all my heart and give you an example, right? That you can follow. That's what I want to do. I don't want to berate you. I don't want to make you feel guilty. I don't want you coming here feeling terrible. But let me tell you something. It'd probably be good for you to feel terrible if you're not doing well spiritually. You need to feel sick. Because you are sick, you just don't know it. You know, that's just, and if you wake up to that, at least we can do something about it together. And we can lock arms and we can say, let's progress. Let's grow in Christ. Let's experience all the fullness of God that's out there for us. You know, that was Paul's passion. That's what he said, that he wanted the Colossians to know that he was driven to present every man. And it's interesting, he said, warning and teaching men. Do you hear that from me? You know that comes from me, because I warn you all the time. And don't think that's strange. You know, I read the Old Testament, I read the prophets, and I read the Septuagint in the Greek. And you know what the prophets, the Lord would tell the prophets? You receive from me words, and you warn the people from me. I believe in warning you. I'm going to tell you, I warn you that God spews the lukewarm out of his mouth. You know, I warn you that only he who endures to the end shall be saved. We need that kind of warning. The whole problem with false prophets in the Old Testament, and the key characteristic of false prophets, is that they treat the wound of God's people superficially. They don't heal it. They just make people feel better. Pastors almost become like the mamas that you know, their kids fall down and skin their knee, and mama says, come bring it over here to me, it's all better. That's kind of what the false prophets would do. And you know how they would make the people feel better? Their message was peace. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. And if we are not walking in righteousness, there is no peace. Only for those who are abiding in Christ, keeping in step with the Spirit, doing the will of God, that there's peace. The things that Jesus said to us, he spoke to us that we might have peace. And if we are doing the things he told us, we will experience his peace. Now let me explain this, what this march to maturity is going to look like in some ways. Okay? When the people of Israel had been delivered from their bondage to sin, which I am assuming if you are here and if you're in Christ, you're no longer a slave of sin. And you've had some experiences with God. You know him to some degree. God's purpose for freeing them from their slavery in Egypt was to take them somewhere, wasn't it? To take them to the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. So this is how I want you to picture the march. God has worked in your life. He set you free from slavery to sin. But he's done that to take you somewhere, to bring you into a life in Christ where all the spiritual blessings in Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are available to you in this life. Please do not picture heaven as the promised land. Jesus Christ is the promised land. The Bible says, no matter how many promises God has made in Christ Jesus, they are yes and amen. And so as we begin to know Christ, in Christ, as we grow in Christ, all of these promises that God has for us will become available to us now. Now. And it's a march to take possession. When the people of Israel were brought from Egypt and from Mount Sinai, they were brought to the borders of Canaan, and the Lord told them to enter into the land and take possession. In a way, this is still true in Christ. We must lay hold of the eternal life that's in Christ. We must lay hold of the promises. And it's not going to be without a fight. Because in the promised land, there were giants in the land, weren't there? And on the way in trying to grow in Christ, guess what you can anticipate? You can anticipate some battles. And some of the battles become pretty strong. You know why some of the... There are some places in your life that may be entrenched, some habits or some areas that have been there so long, it's become a strong hold. Kind of like Jericho, one of the first ones. You know, Jericho, you remember the story of Jericho? Jericho was the first city that Israel had to conquer to begin the conquest of Canaan. Do you remember what the Lord had them do for Jericho? He had the people walk around the city 7 days. Here's what I'm learning from that. And now here's what I want you to take from that. Sometimes it may look like you're going around in circles and nothing's happening. Sometimes that's what it looks like. But I want you to think of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Because we already know there were 600,000 men over 20 years of old age. So they likely had an army of well over 600,000 men. Can you imagine 600,000 people walking all day long for 7 days? You think something would be happening to the ground? Think about it. Well, God knew what he's doing. Maybe the people of Jericho couldn't see it. And maybe even the people of Israel couldn't see it. But as they were walking, they were breaking down a stronghold. And they weakened the whole foundation that city was built upon. And at the end of the seventh day, all it took was a little shout. And the whole ground suddenly shifted. And the whole city came down. And sometimes, if we're just faithful to God, you walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Don't say anything, just walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And then comes the word of the Lord to you. Take it. And suddenly that area that has been so stubborn and has troubled you so long crumbles. And now Christ has control of that tongue. Christ has control of that face. You no longer make that face anymore. Christ has control of that reaction. And now the Spirit's in control of an area where there was a stronghold. So there's more of Christ in you because he's taken control. And they go from there to other little battles. Sometimes there's a defeat, isn't there? The next battle was a little bit of a setback because there wasn't full faithfulness. We can expect these things to happen in our spiritual progress towards maturity. But here's what it says of those who were led by Joshua. And of course, Joshua, if you know in the Hebrew, his name is pronounced Yeshua. And you know who Yeshua is? That's Jesus. In the New Testament, Joshua led the people of Israel. And it says during the time he led them, none of the enemies were able to stand against them. They won every battle. And I will tell you that if we will allow the Lord Jesus to be fully formed in us, if we will follow him and keep in step with his Spirit, and we will let him mature us and grow us up, if we will allow that, every obstacle, every stronghold in our old nature that is hindering letting Jesus be in full control will come down. The Lord will conquer all the areas in our life that have not yet been conquered if we'll walk in the Spirit. Nothing will be impossible to those who believe. I'm not saying that's going to make you the next person who starts raising dead people on your block. What I'm going to say, you know what that's going to make you? That's going to make your walk equal your talk. That's going to make you look like Jesus to your family. They're going to hear Jesus come out of your mouth. They're going to see Jesus in your face. They're going to experience Jesus in your response. Because you're going to look less and less like the old man and more like the Lord Jesus. That's what it looks like. Because what happens is the Holy Spirit takes more and more control. And the more control he takes of you, your responses, your thoughts, your mind begins to be made new. And what does the Bible say? What happens to us when our mind begins to be made new? We become transformed. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we think different. And if we think different, we speak different. We think different, we act different. And when we speak and act different, transformation has taken place. And you know what the transformation is? It's our testimony. We don't even have to say anything. People will recognize the transformation. They'll see it. Clemente sitting back there, he has a desire to become Clemente the meek. He is so strong. He's so zealous. I love him. He is a wonderful brother. And he's tasted. He wants a meekness and a gentleness like I do. I've just been in the Lord a little longer. And some of you out there, you have your own areas. You have your own areas. Just think, with Jesus in full control of that area, that you have failed in so many times, that's going to become a testimony to bring the Lord honor and glory. Isn't that sweet? He'll give you beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. But this happens when we conscientiously, with vision, pursue all the spiritual treasures there are in Christ. You know, we can experience new power in prayer, praying for those in our lives. We can experience new dynamic power in speaking to them, because we know that some of the people in our life, some of our family members, it's going to take some power to change, isn't it? It's going to take power. What do you want to do? Pout that it's not happening, or seek Christ to be filled with that? You see the difference? One is so ineffective and the other brings such glory to God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And this is what God desires. He desires for us to go to him in prayer, to procure from him, to plead with him for people to be returned to the Lord. Wasn't that all that was on Elijah's heart? It's all he desired. Is he wanted the people of God to return to God and to experience God and to acknowledge God. That's what he desired. And when we are more controlled by the Holy Spirit, and then in my mind, that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means that all the parts of me, he's filled my emotions. He's filled my mind. He's filled my mouth. He's in control. Those areas where I was doing it on my own, failing, flailing, inconsistent, up and down, back and forth, that he is fully in control. And the thing about Jesus, he never sinned. So can Jesus be that in you? Have you have a vision for that? Did you know the scripture says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels? You're just an earthen vessel like I am. Yeah, I know not a single one of us could ever do this on our own. But the Bible says we have this treasure in an earthen vessel for one reason, to show that the all-surpassing power is from God.
Amen.
And not us. Oh, I know it's not possible. You know, I've been enjoying something. I've been married to a wonderful woman. My wife, you know her, she's a wonderful woman. She's not always lived with a wonderful man. I've been okay. I've been, you know, depending on who you compare yourself with. I'm a whole lot better than some bums, you know. But I'm a lot worse than others, you know. And you know what the Lord has awakened in me? I want to be filled with Jesus Christ for my wife. I should get more and more like Christ. His grace should saturate me. I should be soaked in it. When I walk, the presence of life should flow out of me. Under stress, I mean, when you take a tube of toothpaste and you squeeze it, what comes out? Toothpaste. Right? It wasn't the squeeze that made the toothpaste come out. Toothpaste was already in there. So if I am filled with Jesus, what happens when someone squeezes me? Jesus comes out. You see, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, people can step on you and slap you and throw you against the wall and squeeze you, and guess what comes out? Jesus. That's what came out of him. Nothing ever came out of him but his Father. Nothing. Nothing. No one could make him do anything but respond in his Father. And you know, that's how we're to walk.
The Bible says that even as he walked, we're to walk. He was filled with the Father. And here's what he said. There's a place that you can come to when you realize something. He told his disciples this. In that day, here's what you're going to realize. You're in me. I'm in the Father. And I'm in you. Wow. That means that my life really is I'm in the Godhead. I am spiritually connected to the Father and the Son. Eternal life is with me. I am living in union. I'm in the family of God. God is my Father. God was the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess who? He has become my Father. And his Spirit lives in me.
Amen.
And I want the world to see. You're in my little world. So you're the first ones I want to see. I want you to see a person full of Jesus Christ. And you know what I want us to be to our neighborhood? Please, saints, let's show our neighborhood what Jesus looks like, okay? Show your family what Jesus looks like. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That if that's not happening, we shouldn't expect that they'll be coming. But you know what? If we allow them to taste and see that the Lord is good through us, usually when you're serving something quite appetizing, it makes people hungry. Right? And if people get hungry, they want to come and eat. And I pray that this will be the effect that we have as our lives become full of Jesus Christ. Full. We mature. You know, the other picture of unripe, not ready. How many of us can remember a time when we bit into an apple or an orange and it was not ripe? Not very pleasant. Okay, no, thank you. like in bananas, you know what happens when bananas get really ripe? You know what a ripe banana looks like, Clemente? Softer and softer. Sweeter and sweeter. Be a banana. Go bananas for Jesus. You know? Just be sweet. Because I tell you what, when we're mature, Jesus Christ in us makes us the sweetest people. Really does. Even though we're convicted. Even though we have our convictions and we feel strong about things, but still, Christ being formed in us, even speaking the truth comes out in a way that we don't taint it or corrupt it, do we? And that's my prayer for us this year.